Welcome to the Wine Ball. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott drink Lagita Manzanilla Sherry. So sit back, relax, and listen to Rob choke down a wine here on the Wine Vault.
Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. Good evening, Wine Guy.
Good evening, sir. Tonight we are not joined by the Triple B. This is the first episode, so it's not the second episode of the night. And that's because the Triple B has traded sophistication for the life of a gypsy. She is in a camper van or camper tonight. Sleeping with camper. All of my children. Very much like a gypsy. A gypsy would have multiple children and would sleep in a camper.
And just like a gypsy father, you abandon them.
That does fit the narrative, doesn't it?
It does.
I did sleep one night in the camper. And by the way, did you know that they'll deliver to the campsite and set it up for you?
Oh, heck yeah.
Why the fuck didn't we do that? Why did we drive the stupid son of a bitchin' thing all the way over there if we could have just had somebody set it up for us?
If you don't recall, I looked at that for the campground, but they were all booked up.
Oh, so
and it was ass expensive.
Oh, it was only like $100
to have it. We're revisiting a road trip that the superstar wine guy and I took to see Ohio State. I would like to say demolish Penn State, but that wouldn't be quite accurate. But we were victorious. But we took a road trip, rented an RV, and
drove it for 50 hours.
It was.
I did brutal. Manage to hit 87 miles an hour in that thing.
Michael,
you were asleep.
The RV share person probably wouldn't want to know that.
Well, you were asleep when that was going on, but I had an Ace of Spades by Motorhead going, and
yes.
I just had to go.
You were kind of playing it over and over.
Well, I was tired of fucking driving, and Steve the bitch wouldn't get off his fucking ass and drive.
We were just exhausted.
And in fairness, he couldn't see over the steering wheel anyway. But the Triple B, she's in the trailer. And by the way, it's bigger and better than the trailer we were in.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Two bedrooms. I've never seen a trailer with two actual bedrooms. I'm sure they make them. But they have a small master bedroom with a real queen with your legs that aren't cut off.
Okay.
And then there's a bunkhouse bedroom where it's four bunk beds, but two of them are on the side, and one just flips up, and then there's a table.
That pulls up there.
Yeah, that you can fit out. So that'll seat four, or you can have four beds. And then they have another table out in the other room that seats like 10,
so,
or six, and a couch.
So they're not at the church camp, is that where they're at?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're at the church camp.
How many American dollars did this set you back to do this?
Zero.
Wait, what?
Wasn't our credit card. Sue paid for it because I refused. I was being a gypsy. Gypsy husband. Although, somehow I'd get a text the other night. It's from some dude named Jeff. Fuck you, Jeff. Anyway, he's like, camper this, camper that. I'm thinking, what the fuck? I thought, because Becky had already made arrangements, and I went through the other site, the outdoorsy.com.
Okay.
I didn't set anything up. I said, I talked to my wife. Apparently, somehow, and she doesn't know how this happened, and if she had done it, she would have known that she did it, she would have told me at the time. She reserved this other camper through RV Share. I don't know how it happened, and I really believe her. She wouldn't just do that and then go do another one. We never signed a rental agreement or anything like that, but that doesn't matter. And it was like $500. So, it's only money. And it wasn't my credit card. He's going to give us the money back. He's going to Venmo us the money back because he can't actually reverse it because they hold it and then they send it out. Wasn't anything he could do. So, he could have like texted us right off the bat when we booked. But
There's a deposit involved.
The whole thing, but the deposit for a period of time, and then the whole thing. And we had already got, like, 3 days before, it was the whole thing. It had already been transferred in. But it wasn't our credit card, so we wouldn't even seen that second set of funds.
Oh, I see.
So we wouldn't know. Nevertheless, folks, I'm sure that was very interesting, and I will cut all of that out. But on tonight's show, since the Triple B is not on, we're going to drink something that she would absolutely fucking hate. hate.
Just because she's not on the show, we're going to do that? Don't you usually make her drink stuff that she would absolutely fucking hate?
I thought about it, but I only bought a 375 of this, so that would make sense. The wine we're drinking tonight is unusual because we don't do this on the show.
No.
This is a dry sherry, folks. It's a Hijos de Riñera Perez Marron La Guita Manzanilla. And for the rest of the show, we're just going to say La Guita Manzanilla. And a Manzanilla sherry is a version of a Fino sherry that is dry. And if you don't know about sherry, I'll explain it to you very briefly here. There are certain levels of sherry. All sherry starts off as a fermented Palomino grape, okay? Especially in the light ones, like what we're dealing with. And then they'll go, say they'll taste what's been fermented, okay? And they'll say, is this good? Is this bad? And then they'll figure out what wine fits best with each style. So the ones that, for instance, come across as you know, perfect for a Fino sherry. That's what they'll do.
And again, Fino means dry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Fino means dry. And then if there's one that they say, this is fuller and bigger already, and it's not gonna fare well with a Fino, then they'll put that on. They'll let that oxidize in a oak cask, and that'll be, say, Oloroso. It'll be dry, but it'll be Oloroso to get more of a tawny color. Amontillado, those are sherries that are allowed to age longer and become darker. That's why if you look at the sherry palette, and I'm talking about the color palette, it goes from straw to darker, a little darker, 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 dark, 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 dark.
Gotcha.
And when you get down to the PX, the Pedro Jimenez, that's a different grape. That's the actual Pedro Jimenez grape.
And where does... So has this been fortified? Is this a fortified sherry?
So at that point, they determine what needs to be fortified and how. So after fermentation, though.
And typically a Fino is not going to be fortified as much.
That would be correct. That would be correct, because the other ones, they go up to 18 to 20%. This stays at 15,
and we're at 15.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Which is for most white, a little on the high end, but the fortification is what brings it to 15.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the wine. And by the way, when these wines come straight out, they're about 12% alcohol. So that's why they're bumping it up a little bit.
Okay.
So we're going to take a break, folks. And then when we come back, I have more information for you. And I will tantalize you with stories of sherry that doesn't taste particularly good here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the La Guita Manzanilla Sherry from
Sherry Spain. Baby.
That's right. This wine itself got a few reviews, so it's done quite well for itself, you know, in the general sense. The first review we're going to talk about is the lowest of the reviews, and that's by Bobby Parker. He gave it 90 of his points, and he said, "The non-vintage La Guita Manzanilla has always been a very strong and marked character of brine, green olives, and mustard seeds with an overall sweet sensation." Scott's now like saying, what? "The medium-bodied palate is precise, very dry and intense, with some brine and Rancino flavors and great length." Scott's going, what? Because he's never had one of these before.
Nope,
never tasted this before in his life.
Never. I don't know what I'm in for.
I have, but I normally did not keep it in my mouth. I'm not a fan of dry sherry. So he says some other things, but it's not all that interesting. The next one is a curious inclusion because they're not very good, but hey, whatever. Wines and Spirits. They provided it 91 of their points. They said, as usual, or for the first time, perhaps, I don't know, La Guita is one of the best values in Spain. For a ridiculous price, you can get all the sun of San Lusar, saline aromas of the sea, and notes of apricot and walnuts in a refreshing and vital Manzanilla, ready for fried anchovies. And Scott still pauses and goes, what And then finally, the Wine Spectator. 91 of their points, and in their top 100 of 2017, number 30. Distinctive, with Verbenian and Tarragon notes leading the way. That's probably pronounced wrong, but that's okay. Followed by lemon pith and Jicama flavors.
Jicama.
It's getting too fancy. Flashes of gooseberry and talc run through the finish.
Talc.
Yeah. Huh. So let's just drink this, Scott. Let's get our first impressions in here. First of all.
But the winemaker notes the Spectator. You know, there's also its descriptor, which is a little different in style of description. The color's lemon, golden yellow. It's clear and fresh on the nose, with aromas indicating a very good biological aging.
We realize they drink an entirely different wine for the top 100, right?
What do you mean they drank it completely different?
I just said that because it's a completely different review. Always it is.
Right.
Somebody else reviews it and they go, what the hell? They said they have to agree to the score, but they don't agree to anything else.
Well, one thing that's been consistent through these four reviews, because the Wine Spectator winemaker notes refers to a salty tang from the sea. So there's going to be a briny or a saline.
And this is always very good with fresh seafood. But I'm talking about, you know, oysters, mussels, things like that. It also goes good with a jamón. Really traditional Spanish food, Spanish flair food that are normally seafood based. This is great. Little grilled octopus. Here we go, though. On the nose, the Scotch just went, woo!
Very lemon-curdy.
Lemon-curdy port, though, because you smell the spirits in the background.
100%. And it's not a mentholated alcohol. Mm-mm. It's a sweet, caramely, yes.
And you say, oh, this wine is going to be so lovely and sweet.
Why do you have that sadistic grin on your face?
You're like, this is going to be so sweet. It's going to be a tasty treat for me. It's not. This wine, though, it's one of those things where there are a lot of things in this world that I don't care for, but I know that they have wildly great merit. It's just not for me. This is one of those things. Here we go.
It's interesting on the glass. It doesn't really have legs. It has a slow, glistening wave that actually
It doesn't have legs or tears. It actually is one solid sheet.
It's just
indicative of the alcohol level.
And I'm guessing the texture, I'm going to expect it to be oily.
Well, alcohol level, but it probably also has low sugar levels. So.
All right, I'm going to go in for my punishment. Apparently, this is an exercise in chicanery.
Oh, you never get you. You never get used to it.
Why do you say that?
Because it's so unusual.
It is unusual. So, first thing, my impression of the visual of the lack of legs, how it just streamed down the side of the glass, my thought was that's indicative of a oily texture, a glycerin texture. Not so fast, my friends. It's not lean, but
no,
similar,
it's not.
Similar to a... It's not dense either. There's a density to it, but it's not a thick feeling on your tongue. I don't even know that it's a coating feeling on your tongue. You know that you've got something with some girth to it.
Well, your initial impression different. Is that you're drinking something that you're not supposed to, that you reach for the wrong bottle on the shelf, and you got the paint cleaner. Now, I'm just going to speak from a lay person's walking into this. If someone gave you this wine in a glass and said, here you go, drink it, and you sniffed it, you said, oh, okay, that'll be sweet, honeysuckle, smelling kind of stuff, and then you taste it, you would punch them because you think that they did a switcheroo on you and gave you a trick, but they didn't, because sherry is such a acquired taste. It's so much of acquired taste that there are fewer and fewer people that don't have a mental illness that currently exists that consistently drink it.
Well,
I mean, they do. That's true.
Counseling is going well, and I like this.
Well, you do.
I
appreciate. I know that it's good, and I know that it's quality for what it is. What it is, I don't particularly care for, but it could be the best, you know, I don't know what I don't like, but best monkey's brains. I mean, I just don't eat monkey's brains.
It's interesting is what it is. It's peculiar. Peculiar sounds like
it's interesting.
There's nothing of merit to it.
There is tons of merit to it. But you remember, what was the guy's, Fritz, that drank Dornfelner?
Oh, my Lord.
You just said it was interesting. It's interesting the way Fritz would think it's interesting. Because he would want to talk to you about it, and you and him would talk about dry sherry. Honestly, I like it a little bit leaner and drier than this.
Okay.
Probably get that flavor out of there. No, I'm just joking. No, I actually like it very lean and very crisp. Almost nothing there, because that is actually a good pairing with anything that has a briny character from that's seafood. It's such an enjoyable switch up. This and champagne are actually surprisingly little things that are fun to do this. This actually has a little bit more girth to it.
Yes.
That's the manzanilla out of it. But I've stuck more towards Oloroso. You know the ones really that kick you in the balls that you don't expect? The Oloroso, yeah. The Olorosos are ones that you don't notice because it looks like PX and it kind of smells like PX, but it don't taste like PX. And it's such an interesting acquired. I just don't know. Other than if you suffer from schizophrenia, normally those people like bitter, odd things.
Oh, my Lord.
The mentally ill. No, I drink it.
So there is a... I think it's just short of being briny. But there's a certain... almost a salty texture to it.
Well, it's supposed to be salty.
And it really is, and I'm enjoying that part of it. I like that. It's
well, the saltiness is what throws it off for me, even though that's what it's supposed to taste like. What I do like,
it's a physical response I have to that saltiness.
I like the almond hints on the finish. It's just that the salty front palate, but that's supposed to be there, hinders me enjoying it a little bit too much. This would be so much better with food. You know, it needs that. Or as an aperitif. Also, it would also be nice if you were sitting on the coast of Spain, looking out at the Mediterranean. That would be nice, too, drinking this.
You know, there's also a dense minerality in there that I'm having trouble putting my finger on what that minerality is. It almost reminds me of an oaking, but...
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Towards the toasty side, but maybe it's just this blending of the minerality with the almond.
Well, it's
on the finish.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's not oak because this isn't oaked.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's a characteristic that you would draw from oak, and you know, maybe it's earthy, like a combination of minerality and earthy. One of the reviews mentioned tarragon, and maybe that's what I'm getting as minerality.
Could be.
Let's go in on that finish again, and it's at the finish. It is a nice finish. Lemon, a little pear. There's that brininess that starts towards the... It's kind of in the mid-palate, the beginning of the mid-palate. And then there's that nice finish that's dry, but there's a minerality, earthy thing going on. And maybe it is exactly tarragon. Rob's just shaking his head in disgust.
I'm not in disgust. It's not my favorite thing in the world.
I honestly care for this great deal.
Well, you would because you're a freak, but... I was like, sitting there, I'm drinking it, and you know how you're like, you're doing this because it will make you a better person kind of shit, things that you don't want to do that are horrible, but you're like, you know what, this builds character? That's what's going through my mind. I'm like, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. I'm serious, that is what my mind is doing. Maybe it needs to be colder, It's just not ever going to be cold enough for me, though, I think.
Perhaps. In this one way, my palate's a little more advanced in appreciation
it's
than yours.
It's not. It's actually showing that you're ill.
No, I feel wonderful.
I don't. I've never met someone in my life that admits that they like this stuff.
Until tonight.
No, I've seen like on old like old BBC comedy shows like Fawlty Towers and stuff like
Fawlty
that.
Fawlty Towers.
They'll drink dry sherry.
And
that was in 1979. Oh, but you were 60 then, so that makes sense.
The old British comedy about the retail department store.
Are You Being Served?
Are You Being Served?
Well, yes, they would drink. It's such a Ponzi kind of uptight kind of thing.
Didn't she drink Fino Sherry when she went home to play with her?
I never watched. I'm aware of it.
Never watched that show?
No. I watched Fawlty Towers. Love Fawlty Towers. But
I prefer you.
You would. You'd prefer the wrong one.
Well, I actually preferred Benny Hill, to be honest with you.
I could see that, too. You know. Blackadder.
I was 12.
When?
Watching Benny Hill.
They didn't have TVs and fucking when you were 12.
They most certainly did. Mm-mm. Everybody went down to the hardware store and, you know, stood on the sidewalk and watched it through the window.
They called them, what do they call them, talkies then?
Talkies.
Mm-hmm. Movies and talkies.
No.
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 No. Okay. Yeah.
Bad.
I'm so happy I bought this.
Look, this is, folks, this is different.
We try, but this is the thing. You have to push yourself
occasionally. On a recent episode, we talked about how wine reviewers need to push people to try different things.
Well, the question is, how would I ever review this? I can't, because I don't have a...
Well, you don't have a point of comparison.
Oh, I
actually,
do,
you do.
I've had dry sherry many times, and every time I dislike it. Although I dislike this the most, which might suggest this
just
is
like
the best.
Like this the most?
Yo, yes. This is full flavored.
You dislike this the most?
Oh, yes.
What is it? What well, is it the brininess?
I've never done a Manzanilla before. I've done Finos, all the Rosco, all that stuff. The saltiness is so powerful. It almost, and I understand that's a point of it, but it's out of balance for me. We are drinking it possibly just a touch too warm. It's borderline tepid. But the saltiness is so overbearing, it stays there the whole time. And that minerality you're tasting on the finish is part and parcel to that saltiness.
I love it. It's like a
lump that sits right there. And there are other little things going on in there. There's apricot. There's that wonderful almond finish. But that lump of salt, it's like a fucking salt lick for a fucking deer before you shoot its head off.
And see, folks,
it sits there like this big fucking anchor. Well, not an anchor. It's like a, say you had a room. Okay, you walk into a room, and they have like this accent beam, but it's a whole fucking room. There's like 3 feet to walk around the damn accent beam because they have this damn thing running down the middle of the fucking room. That's the salt. I mean, I could scrape it off and put it on a fucking potato, man.
No, I think you're exaggerating greatly.
No, I'm not. It is, but it is a distracting element to it.
I think it's salty, but not briny. I don't taste
of
the sea.
I would take of the
sea.
Brine
is stronger than this would be.
But it gives it another element. This is just salt.
Mm.
It doesn't have a brininess has a little bit of a breeziness to it.
Oh, do you think? See, when I think briny...
I'm not saying it's tasty. It's not
thinking of
Elowan Pinot Noir. But it's just, it at least is, I don't think that. I think of something that starts off, a rush, but then brininess, just like the ocean, washes away. This does not. This is permeates you. It punches you.
See, for me, like a briny oyster that's today's oyster straight from the ocean, that's so briny. I can't. Take that, and it doesn't wash away. I can't get rid of that. This is not like this is. I have no.
There also is that.
What was the wine that we had before this? And it was a red wine, and it had salt in it, and we couldn't get that salty taste out of our mouth. What the hell was that? This was in season one. Maybe it didn't even air, but it was the only other wine I can think of where I've ever had a salty
Rob,
characteristic.
Out of 250 wines we drank on the show, One tasted salty. Which one was it?
Which one was it, Rob?
Which, in my imagination, do I remember it tasting salty?
I don't fucking know.
I don't remember. But I like the salty characteristic in this.
I
agree. It's a bit much.
A bit
but
much.
But I think it's the backbone of the wine, and I don't think
it is
it
the backbone.
I don't think it overpowers all the other flavors. I think it's maybe a little bit out of balance, but I would say a little bit of out of balance. I don't have any experience with phenos, but I love that saltiness in this wine.
This isn't a pheno. This is a manzanilla.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
There's also a slight bit of mealy apple.
I got apple right away on the front.
But it's mealy.
With, you said peach. I was going for more like stewed pear, but it's along a sweeter fruit. But there's also distinctly light lemon in the background. It's got a wonderful fruit characteristic.
Well, you're sucking on a lemon. Yeah, that's right. Lemon. Lemon, yes. Lemon, yes, throughout. But mealy green apple into the salt, which is not necessarily my cup of tea. But it's the Palomino grape. I remember a long, long time ago, there were a couple wineries in California. One specifically I can remember thought it was a good idea to try to do a Palomino, straight Palomino, but not sherry style, just as a white wine. And it was Rosenblum, and they had this funny offshoot of their label called was it Chateau La Paz, but PAWS, and they had paw prints on there. It was a dog. They had a red one, too. I think it was a Rhone style.
Were we somewhere where we saw that?
No, I don't think that they make that anymore.
Was it at the wine in Vegas?
I really don't think so. I've not
Parker's?
Seen... Rosenblum doesn't... I mean, they have Zins now. They're really scaled back. They used to be a bigger player, too, and you just don't see them as much. They used to be... It was like Rosenblum, Ravenswood, Renwood... And those were like some of the big Peachy Canyon. Those were some of the bigger Zin guys out there.
Huh. Wait, so I interrupted you. So what was it like? What was that
Palomino
what it
tastes
like?
Shit. No. It was, you know, it was a wine that you said.
Was it one of those why wines? Like, why did you do this?
The why is I want the bone driest wine I could ever drink. The most bone dry. Here you go.
I kind of like the thought of that. I'm sorry, I like the thought of that.
But you like the thing, but you never tasted it.
I know, I didn't, but when
they
I
named
hear
it
that
after a dog. Did that tell
no,
you much?
P-A-U-S.
No, it was P-A-W.
I thought you said P-A-U-S.
No, they had paw prints on it.
Okay.
I think, I don't know. Who the fuck knows? It was a free bottle. Anyway, I didn't pay for it.
How was it?
It wasn't very good.
Damn it. As opposed to this, which is very good.
No.
Folks, listen, this is interesting. Wine Guy doesn't like it. But take it from me. I have zero experience with dry sherries.
Well, we know you do.
And it's for me, it's not too salty. No, it's unusual in that salt is not something that expresses itself in wine.
It doesn't sherry.
It just doesn't, except in sherry. I like it. It's unusual in that you've got this characteristic that we don't normally have framing the wine, but it's not. It might be slightly out of balance, but it's not overpowering the other flavors. We just described the four different varietal of fruit.
It has a tapestry of things there, none of which I like, but still.
Oh, come on.
No, I mean, it's not cold enough, Scott. That's our problem here. That's my problem. It needs to be a lot colder because these things shouldn't stay. It actually says in the fucking label, serve well chilled. It says that on the label. They know.
Does it want ice cube in her wine?
No, I'm just saying. Because you don't want, at a certain temperature, it's throwing off the wrong.
Salty.
Well, it's throwing off wrong perceptions, let's just say. You have to appreciate for what it is. I'm just kind of curious.
Do you have bourbon balls upstairs? Ice cubes?
I don't want an ice cube.
I'm just saying, let's quick chill it and try it.
I don't. It's all gone. Here we go. Let's pour it. poured all mine. I'll drink it. I'm just trying to think. And we're going to take a break, folks. And we're going to be right back. And on the potpourri tonight, we're going to discuss how could you make use of this wine here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. So, sherry. Not PX, not Pedro Ximénez, because that is the nectar of the gods. And we're going to ignore that for now. So don't ignore it.
I do have to make a quick comment. So, Rob gave us a top off, and he did say it needs to be chilled, cooler. And it's, so this is a recently poured bit, straight from the fridge, and it is not quite as salty.
Also, another thing. This was, I bought this on wine.com. Okay. And if this was the same release, and it might not be because these are non-vintages, but if it's the same release that got this, it was in the 17, this should be drank very shortly after release.
Correct.
And I assume as a non-vintage, this is just, this might not even be the batch that got the discovery.
Right.
Although it's blend. These are Solera blends, so it's multiple years that are blended together with the spirits to make something that's more of a uniform product. That's the idea of sherry and port, for that matter.
Explain that again. What was the term you said?
Solera. A blend of multiple vintages. So you might have something that's 3 years old, something that's 2 years old, something that's 1 year old. So you're mixing the old with the new, and the idea is you're trying to create a uniform product every year. And that's kind of the thing. One of them, PX is a better example because those can have some interesting things. Alviers, who's a major player, they do a 1927 Solera. And the key about that is the oldest grape stock in that wine is from 1927.
Wow.
Behind me here, I have an Alviers Pedro Ximénez there. Onado. It's from a 2011. It's a vintage port or a vintage PX. Now, a lot of things that are interesting about this wine, but the main thing is it's very sweet. But this wine got 100 of Robert Parker's points.
Ooh.
100, and there's two of them in there. Now, Scott's probably wondering, Rob, why are you sitting them upright? It's a very good reason.
Rob, why are you sitting them upright?
Unlike port, sherry will eat away at the cork. So you do not want the actual sherry resting against the cork because it'll eat it away.
Acid content? What is it? Just something about the Palomino grape?
Mm-hmm. So, well, no, that's actually Pedro Ximénez. Different grape. Yeah.
Well, so what is it about sherry?
You have to. I read it and I forgot it. I just remembered. I read, do not do that. Oh, okay. But, so, there's a, it's such a wine variety, but ignoring PX, because those are sweet and delicious and just crazy. The drier sherries, the Oloroso looks like PX, but isn't. What can the current market today, people just are drinkers, do with that wine? We can't sit here and say, and Scott will say this, because he has no integrity.
What do you want me to say?
I
don't have any integrity. Let me say it.
You're a casual wine drinker. This is like level 125 for you. I know what it tastes like. I've drank it many times. I choose not to drink it because I have drank it and said, that's not for me. That's the only style of wine, by the way. that I've ever said that about. I've never, ever said that. Dornfelner, I guess. But although I'll try another Dornfelner. But this is one. This is better female. And I know it's not for me. Although it's got something there. It's interesting, though. I mean, you can't ignore the flavor. The flavors that are there don't appeal to me. But there's a lot that is going there. And the one thing is, it exists and it actually is functioning on multiple levels. So you'll have that top layer of salt. But there's little sparkles of, green apple, a green grape, a fleshy green grape, lemon curd. All these things, but just in the lightest sense, almost the essence. And they pop in and out, in and out, in and out. And then with that, you get this little wash of, it doesn't go baked pie crust, but like a toasted almond that just kind of resonates, and that's the finish. But it doesn't function, and it doesn't have the structure of a normal wine where you have front palate, mid palate, back.
I think it does.
It does not.
Well,
because it all exists in this. It exists on multiple levels at the same time.
See, I get a fruit front palate.
But it works out your palate differently. You know, because you have to acknowledge there are different things going on. You're just acknowledging things at different times. Which is interesting.
The only thing I think it lacks is a back palate. It has a finish, but those flavors that we're talking about, they're mid palate flavors.
But it can't. Not with a fino. Good Lord. There is nothing to put there. There's no oak aging. So
there's no tannins. You know,
it's a white wine.
What do you think of this? You mentioned this is better with food.
Yeah.
Having the cheese with it consistently. A little nibble of cheese.
It helps, but it also would help having like the smoky sweetness of Hamel, which we have upstairs, but I never got any. I can see where a sweet oyster.
Fantastic.
Would be very good.
Any fresh fish.
And the idea is this wine is not a main course wine. You have a small glass of this as an aperitif. That's the idea. And so you might have your oysters as an aperitif. That's when you have this.
I love this with fresh fish. It's just the saltiness.
Well, I think you could
lightness.
You could catch the right one that would accent it. But you have to. It's like this is one half of a puzzle piece. And so I think there's this other half that exists out there that would make this just sparkle. But you have to have that other half. I don't know what it is right at this moment. It's not a fried piece of cod, mind you. But there is something out there that would just make this sing. And I just don't know what it is.
I'm going to tell you what this reminds me of. Substitute the salt for effervescence.
Okay.
This reminds me of, it's nothing like, but it reminds me of an extremely dry champagne.
Well, a Spanish cava, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean,
oh, no, yeah.
Sometimes the bubbly takes on a alkaline little saltiness.
It can't.
Not like this.
Well, especially, though, in Spanish cava. You're very, very right. You're very, very astute in that. Freixenet. It's not on the level of this wine, but Freixenet, remember that? It had slate and mushroomy kind of flavors?
Yes.
It's not unlike this. You're absolutely spot on. And that makes sense, given stylistically and from the terroir, how similar they're all, you know, in their processing. But that does make a lot of sense. That is actually a good comp. If you do like Spanish cavas, you might find something here that you would enjoy. And in small amounts. Would you ever buy a 750 of this? No, you would not. You shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
No, no.
This is a drink now wine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've talked about before, I think there should be more 375s.
Yeah, you're going to collect them, right?
I just think there should be more 375 sold. I just tap a couple more bucks on them, fine, whatever.
Well, I think this was $9.99 in the 375 form, I think.
Was it?
Or it was $11.99. One of the two.
I thought I got a hit on $19.99.
But that was $7.50.
Yes, correct.
So this is the 375.
$10.99.
Yeah, smaller.
What?
Yeah, it wasn't a bad deal given, you
given
know.
The, yeah.
And it was exactly the amount that we would need for sampling on the show. Unless it was, so we really liked it, then we'd be mad. But
I wouldn't mind if we had a little more of this. I'll be honest. I seriously like this. Like, I'm not in love with it, but I like it.
You're in love with it.
I'm going to recommend it. I'm going to recommend it highly, folks.
To who?
To all the listeners.
To do what with? Gag?
To drink.
You dumbass.
To try something different. To open your world.
Well, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and Scott's going to open his world here on the Wine Vault. Everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So apparently, opening his world does not involve Scott taking off his pants. I was worried as to what that meant.
If you were so worried, then why did you ask me to do it? You sick, sick man.
Take off your pants or open your world.
In your eyes, it's the same thing.
What is now, and now I know to keep my fucking mouth shut. So.
Well, we'll see how that works, folks.
That's true. The Lagita Manzanilla Sherry. We're going to start off with the dumbass. I mean, Scott is going to provide a really dumb score.
Superstar's not here.
I know. I get to read this, too. And I've got a score in mind.
I get a physical like response to this that I really enjoy.
Maybe it's herpes. It probably is the herpes.
It's probably the herpes.
It is the herpes.
The herpes. The herpes. It's the herpes.
Yeah.
No. I love wines that give you a physical response, and I got a physical response to the saltiness. And
so did I.
For me, it wasn't as salty as I expected when I heard these descriptors of the sea. Brininess.
You got worried there, didn't you?
I expected it to be more salty than this, so I was pleasantly surprised. I like how the salt frames this. I agree with the wine guy. It's unique, it's unusual, and it's probably not for everybody. Nonetheless,
like
I recommend this to our listeners.
To do what with?
To drink, to try. Get the 375 ml if you can get your hands on it, and I recommend this one. Yeah, I can... We've tried it. I think it has going on.
I would start off slow. Get a pheno. If you want dry sherry, start off the pheno.
So the San Luca region, it's a different experience than most phenos?
The Manzanillas tend to be a little more jazzy. Let's just say that. It's fuller flavored. Start off, you don't want the full Monty. This might turn them off a little bit.
You're either going to dig it or you're not.
You have to work yourself up to it. It's just like, well, there's a lot of things that I could say. You just got to build up to it. You just don't throw it in there, if you get my drift. You have to warm up to the situation.
No. See? I think just like
you
me,
know,
some of
you
our
saw
listeners.
That. I saw you were eyeing this. I'm like,
I am eyeing it.
Oh, don't. This bottle does not deserve that. Why does it have a string? Folks, there's a string, like, on it, and I don't know why. It's just like there's a sticker on the neck, and then it goes, the string goes down behind the label and kind of fucks up the label. But the string doesn't have any particular purpose that I can see because it's a fucking screw top.
It's an adornment.
It's an adornment?
Yes.
Well, we have the PX, the El Condado, which is saintly, and it had that lock on it. But
it was the lock.
I want more of that.
That was phenomenal. Yeah. And this is not phenomenal, but
no,
I do score it highly. I'm going to give it an 88, but I recommend it highly. It's unique, folks. It's not going to be for everybody, but open your world and try a Fino Sherry. I recommend you get this guy. I think it's fantastic.
I think this is the third one you get.
I think if I can get it on the first try, others can. I mean, okay, maybe my palate's a little more developed based on all the things we've done.
Or you were just sniffing paint thinner all day long.
No, you're high. No, there were no chemicals in my work that I did on the house today.
Oh, really?
Screw gun and saw work.
You were nailing hardwood. That's what you were doing.
Some hardwood.
Yeah.
A piece of poplar.
Yeah.
I installed a piece of poplar, folks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a piece of fascia board.
That's good. You're good at that.
I stand by that 88. I think there's complexity of fruit. I think there's a nice finish with some unique characteristics. The almond in the finish is fantastic, and that tarragon, earthy minerality, whatever that thing is, I like it, and I have enjoyed that saltiness in this wine.
Well, it's on to me now, folks. You know, Scott's going to feel stupid because I had written down 88.
Why?
Because I was an 88. Now,
Why would that make me feel stupid?
Because you really like it and I don't, but we have the same score, partly because I'm objective.
So?
Now, the way I see it is, I can see a lot of elements of this wine. I just don't know that they coalesce perfectly. It's not like that there's this wonderful symphony. It doesn't matter if I like all the notes, for instance. It doesn't coalesce in a symphony for me. It kind of hobbles around a little bit. I think that it is interesting, though, that it all happens kind of simultaneously in a certain sense, but it just doesn't have a perfection to it. I don't see a 91 anywhere in its future. With that, I don't know. The problem you have with non-vintage wines, is this the current release, or if it was three vintages ago that sat in a fucking warehouse?
And that's the problem with non-vintage stuff.
Yeah, and that's the problem you have with any of these things that you're buying in sherry, especially with Fino. It's kind of like Peroni beer. That Peroni beer, they don't brew that here. At least they didn't used to. They shipped that shit from Italy. Nobody bought it. So that's why 75% of it was skunky.
Yeah.
And that's what you have with some of these. You just don't know. You can't take on faith, is it? Now, if you go in the store and you're buying sherry, understand, that's old sherry. And by the way, Harvey's Bristol Cream is not fucking sherry. And so, you know, cream sherry is Oloroso with sweet shit put in it.
Yeah.
But that's not real sherry.
So, if there's a purveyor that you deal with that you trust, just flat out ask them, how long has this sherry been sitting?
Well, we
talk about Jenna and Robin at the Twisted Vine, you know, they would tell you if this is an old bottle of sherry that they've had for 2 years.
And normally, yeah, and that's the thing, that's the tricky bit, why you don't see it as much as you'd like to. This bottle can't sit there that long.
It's a drink now.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the ultimate drink now.
It is. But if this wine coalesced better, and I saw the overall scheme, even in my ignorant sense, it might get to a 90. It just isn't doing that. Unlike what Scott says, this wine probably is being... I don't think hardcore sherry drinkers listen to our show. Maybe they do, actually. I don't know. It's strange, the individuals we found out listen to our show. But some of them are quite smart. I'm just curious. But nevertheless,
why would they listen to us?
They want to. I don't know. It's kind of like
could feel better about themselves.
I don't know. I just don't know. Why do people drive through Appalachian that are from New York City? They just want to. I don't know. Like a zoo kind of. I don't know.
Stare at the animals.
Yeah, and that's not nice to do that. By the way.
Hey, let's tell trailer jokes.
Gypsies. I can make fun of gypsies.
Don't tell a trailer joke.
No. You have to pronounce gypsy. Gypsies. Nevertheless, though.
What's the difference between a tornado and a West Virginia divorce? Nothing. Somebody's losing a goddamn trailer.
Did you have to say GD? Triple B's not here. She doesn't approve of that language. Bastard.
That's the joke.
Yeah.
That's the fucking joke,
you
son.
You goddamn bastard.
That's a fucking...
I'm Triple B's not here. We can say whatever we want, can't we?
Say whatever we want.
I didn't even get any dirty looks. I don't even know what to say.
I could look at you with a stink eye.
Man, nobody gives a shit what you do. So, 288s, it's not recommended unless...
It is recommended. Highly recommended.
It is not recommended.
Highly recommended.
It's not.
Try it, folks.
And no, you won't
stretch.
Like it. Send me your $10.99, and I can spend it better than you can. By the way, you can buy a lot of red wines at $10.99 that taste pretty damn good. I can think of Columbia Crest Syrah is really good. It's $10.99. Try
like
that.
This. I'm
not
going to apologize.
I know you
for
pretend
liking
to liking it.
No, I
but
like
you pretend fancy. You're
and
that
it's
guy.
It's not because it's fancy.
You're that. You're the guy that. Well, we'll deal with that later. So, folks.
At least I'm not the guy that thought we were going to shit the world that meant to get down my pants to expand your world.
You're the kind of guy that would have a bottle of have an empty bottle of good wine on the table, but really be drinking Private Selection by Robert Mondavi. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
What's wrong with Private Selection?
A lot. We're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on The Wine Vault. Good night.